sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, at which every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord, and this whole thing belongs to Him. This whole thing is His. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we live here in a window and a season. And you can live in this time and exercise your free will and either choose to align with truth and with Him and direct yourself towards the gate, who is Christ Jesus, and walk out of the illusion and the paradigm of this world by trusting God and trusting the truth and putting your faith in Him and living that out. Or you can sell out to the world and go that way and in the company of others all sink together on the deck of the Titanic. So it's really a choice. Although, you know, with what things are and what things end up becoming, doesn't really seem like a very good choice if you go the way of the world. In retrospect, at the time, a lot of people think, hey, this is just what I need to do. But I guarantee you, from an eternal perspective, there are many, many, many that have passed on that would love to pass back the instruction to you, just like the rich man that died along with Lazarus, to say, hey, don't reject the truth. Don't reject God. Don't reject that which is real, because you're going to end up in a horrible, horrible place. And that's an eternal place. You know, I, for one, am very, very thrilled that this is my last go-around on this life. And that when this whole thing is done, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For those that know the gate, know the truth, know Christ Jesus, and are walking with Him and know His voice. So I'm glad that I don't have to do this entire cycle again. And I'm glad that I don't have to go through all of these things over and over and over again. And I'm glad that I don't have to be bound to the reality and the bottomless depths that the world system is going to sink to. So, and this is not something mutually exclusive to me. This is something that is offered to all of humanity, because the blood of Jesus was sufficient, not just for our sins only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. So I'm glad that that's there. I'm glad that by God's grace, I've actualized that. I'm glad that by God's grace, the bulk of the people that listen here have actualized that too. Yeah, there's a set of people that listen in as well that are assigned to do so or do it out of malicious intent. But for those of them, for those of you that do that, my prayer for you is that you too would, you know, make a shift. And that between you and God. But you know, if there's a block between you and the Father. And if there is, there's a way that's been made for you. Okay, something God has been speaking about here with me. All right, Genesis chapter 3. And verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron." Okay, and let's flip forward then to verse 22. "And the Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubs and flaming swords, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree, of life. Okay. You know, something that, you know, the other day, it's kind of stuck with me for a while. But, you know, the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, before the fall, before the paradigm that we have now in this world, man just was. You know, man is. Man was an eternal being, an eternal place, an eternal relationship. The knowledge of good and evil is, in order for something to be good, something else has to be bad. In order for something to be evil, you have to have a relative position. Evil in relationship to what? Good in relationship to what? So part of what took place in the fall, and part of what we all experience even now in the nature of this duality, is a relative position in comparison to something else. And there was something that took place inside of the human being, our being that it is that we are all here and walk around in this life in, that started off with a split from what we can see now. At least starting off our time, our limited time while we're here in the earth. And with this split, part of the reconciliation process and the coming back to the Father and the restoration, because Jesus' prayer in John 17 was that they may be one in us, as I am in the Father and the Father is in me, that they may be one in us. So the restoration is a restoration to no longer a relative position, to no longer be over here, over there, this in relationship to something else. It is to be made one with the Father and to now just be. You are, I am. Because I am is right now. I am is eternal. I am is, to be one with God, and to be fused with His Spirit, to be consummated with His Spirit, because even Jesus said, in the last days, there'll be many that come to Him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in Your name? And He'll say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The knowing is a consummation. So, to be consummated with the truth, to be consummated with Christ, to be one with God, to be one with that which is eternal, is part and parcel of the experience, the redemption that we go through while we're here in the earth for those that are Christ. So, one of the tricks of the enemy is to keep you split. To keep you split. So the knowledge of good and evil, good in relationship to what? Evil in relationship to what? Good in relationship to something else. You know, I think I talked about this a little while back on a different podcast, but I remember back to my college days, and I attended the University of Nebraska, and during that time also I was there as an athlete as well, and I remember these college rivalries, where you would have a rivalry with another team. And it was interesting how these rivalries would be in relationship to, another school that was within your conference. So there would always be that school that there would just be this bad blood, between the schools over something, over, just whatever it was that would come up. And each year that rivalry would be fueled. And as time would go on, the conferences would shift. And when they shifted, what was interesting was so would the rivalries. Because now, if some team or some other school is no longer in your conference or your division, now there's no rivalry with those groups. And now it's somebody else. So you would find a new school to have an issue with. You know, for example, you know, in Nebraska's days with the Big Eight, and then later on the Big Eight became the Big 12, and now the new rival was Texas. Back in the old days, it was Colorado in the Big Eight. But after the Big 12 conference changed, later on it became the Big 10 conference, and now there's a whole new set of people. And it's curious because, you know, when I traveled, and I traveled through, you know, about a year ago, I was in Mississippi at the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. And one of the first things that was told to me when I got into that state was I was told a little bit about the rivalry between the University of Mississippi, Mississippi State, and Southern Miss. And there's two schools in particular, and I'm a bit mixed up. I think it's Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. Please forgive me if I'm off on that. But the rivalry is there again. You know, again, another school that people would literally, they would get into fights with each other over this. Now, in something in relationship to something else. And it's amazing how in the nature of fallen man, we can always find somebody else to hate. We can always find somebody else to blame. We can always find someone else to accuse. But the interesting thing is that as things shift, there's always somebody else. It's always someone else outside. It's always a position in relationship to something else. So the knowledge of good and evil is to be split. And to be split is to not be whole. And to not be whole is to also within yourself, because there's something wrong, constantly putting that what's wrong on something outside and something external. But the breach has to be solved within. That's why also Jesus talked about, hey, the kingdom of God is within in Luke 17. The kingdom of God is within. So that is where the breach needs to be healed. And when you're healed within, when you come into I am within, what that does is now that brings the restoration and now you can be at peace without. See, one of the reasons that the worlders are in overdrive right now and the eugenicists are just trying to kill everybody thinking that they're doing a good service, and they're not. They're murderers doing the work of the devil who came to steal, kill, and destroy, and all that they do is going to be, all that blood will be on their hands. Just like David with Bathsheba when he got Uriah, her husband, killed, when Naaman the prophet came to him, or Nathan the prophet, sorry, when he came before the king and he brought it out, the blood was on David's hands. So I know some of these eugenicists that are doing evil all over the world, they think that because they're ordering somebody else to do it, or they're doing it with the stroke of a pen, or doing it through a communication or an email or a phone call, that they're not going to be held responsible for certain things. Listen, all of it is going to be held in account, and those accounts must be settled on an eternal basis. And God will settle those accounts. There's only one way out for you, my friend. And that is Jesus Christ, the real one. Not the fake one. Not the Sunday exchange that people go through. Show up on Sunday, pay your tithe, come in here, be a good little boy for 45 minutes or an hour or 2 hours, and now you go back out and run roughshod over everybody. No, that's not it. The real Christ Jesus, the one that is Lord over all, that you bow your knee before him and you take your marching instructions from the King of Kings. There's only one way out, and all that has been done is going to be held to account. Just like when Jesus was talking about too, that you know, with the destruction that was going to be coming on Jerusalem, that from all the blood, from righteous Abel to Zechariah, would that all of it was going to be held to account in that generation. And we saw that happen in 70 AD with the destruction that took place in Jerusalem. It's a horrific time. A judgment that took place there. But nobody gets away with anything. And just because you do something in a suit, in a comfortable office, you're accountable for your actions. You're accountable for the things that you've done. You're accountable for your participation. This is why you want to follow Christ. This is why you want that which you do to be in step and in connection with Him. I only do the works that I see the Father doing. That's what Jesus said. I only speak the words that He gives me to speak. That's Jesus' testimony. He was, I am. There was no relative position with Him. He was, is, and always will be. See, the knowledge of good and evil is a split. And that split needs to be repaired. And rather than falling for the trap that consumes many a person's life for their entire time in the earth, where it's constantly, the problem is over there. The problem is over there. It's somebody else over here. I mean, how many splits do we see around us all the time? Families, husbands against wives, Democrats versus Republicans, you know, different racial groups fighting and warring it out with each other. You just go down the list. You can find so many different places and ways that you can be split. But when you realize, first of all, that you are nobody's victim, you are no one's victim, that you are a child of the living God, and just like Jesus, He said, look, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord only to take it back up again. You are no one's victim. When you are one in Christ, to live as Christ and to die as gain, that which you do while you're in the earth is as God directs you, and you just are. And even when it comes down to things like that which is around us, let God dictate. Let God show you. Let God break your heart. Let God give you your instruction. Let God give you your basis by which you make your decisions and your choices. Because you know what? Man has created a lot of things for himself. A lot of prisons for himself man has already created. It's incredible to me. Jesus would talk about this with the Pharisees in his time on the earth, when he would discuss and say, look, you guys will break the laws of God, and you'll nullify the laws of God to keep your own man-made traditions. Because anytime that it was, and you can see it, anytime that it was in the scriptures and the things that came up, whenever it was profitable for the Pharisees, or it enhanced their control over the people, they would disannul the truth and the revelation that God had given in order to go forward with their own man-made teachings. And so much of what we have now today is corrupt man-made teachings. Has no basis, has no benefit, has no nothing that's good for anyone. But man for the purpose of control, and man for the purpose of lording over each other, enslaving and being enslaved, has perpetuated a lie and an illusion. And unless you will put your shoulders back and allow the Spirit of God to lead you out and lead you through, you will be bound up in those lies and in those illusions. And you will live your life constantly being tracked and monitored, and monitoring and tracking other people, and just making sure everybody stays in line and nobody gets out of the crab bucket. And if somebody tries to get up and somebody tries to get out, you'll pull them back in because you want to be in there with everybody else. It's amazing when somebody starts, you know what? When somebody starts walking out with Christ and walking out of this world system and walking out of this illusion, there is something that clicks in the realm of the spirit, where those that are on the side of the world know here's one that's getting free. And it is incredible how the resources of this world come to bear on that person to try to get them back, try to get that soul back, or to destroy that person if they can't get that one back. And anything to keep them here. Because as long as the soul is still here, as long as the soul is still trapped in the matrix and the illusion, then, you know, they get the benefit from that soul. So, you know, a lot of people will just go for cheap, and they're happy to be the slave in the world, and they're happy to participate and be part and parcel of the illusion. But for the ones that are on the way out, hey, that's why the offers get huge. You know, Jesus in Luke 4 was offered all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. If you just bow down and worship me is what the devil asked for. Basically, just, you know, give yourself over to this illusion, Jesus. Come on in here. Come under my kingdom, my covering, my system, my structure, my way, and I'll take care of you. You're going to be the top notch right away. I'm just going to shoot you straight to the top. All you got to do is just bow your soul and be part. And Jesus said, depart from me, Satan. You know, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, that was to Peter when that was that other situation. But he said, you know, he rebuked the devil. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Never. But Jesus kept moving. Jesus kept walking out. Jesus was not going to be part of that illusion. Because he also saw through. He knew. And he knew what he came into this earth to do. You need to understand, and God will reveal to you, that which is his purpose for you being in the earth. And when he starts to reveal those pieces that are an extension of being made one and fused with him and living out your life in connection with him, from that revelation of who you are, now you have purpose. And to be moving in that purpose and also realizing that it's God doing it through you, it's not you doing it in and of yourself, because then again you're split. It's not you doing for God. It is God doing through you as he sees fit, as he desires, as he wills. Because that's where the prayer is. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is the prayer that we have learned to pray. That is the prayer that we walk out. That is the plan and purpose that we move in our desire, in our very spirits, is to see the manifestation of that. So, just an encouragement, because to realize that there is a trap that the enemy has set. And it goes all the way back to even his conversation with Eve. He wanted to get Eve split. He wanted to split man. To put man in this relative position, this relative place. Because now, to divide and conquer is possible. When you are split, now someone else over there is your issue and your problem. But when you realize that the problem is within, the breach was made within, and the healing must take place within. Now, you also understand why the kingdom is within. Let that healing take place within you. Let God do that work in you. And the rest will take care of itself. And outside, listen, outside there's going to be all kinds of ragings and thrashings around and all kinds of people doing all kinds of craziness. That's not going to stop, because most people will not choose the healing, will not choose the restoration, will not choose the way of God and the way of life and the way of truth. That is not going to be their choice. They're going to choose the illusion, choose to try to be part and parcel of the system. They're going to choose to try to win the game. But that's not going to happen. But for you, brother and sister, you can walk in freedom. You can walk in truth. You can walk in peace. You can know that peace, and you can live in that. I am. And when that breach has been taken care of, your reaction to that which is around you is as God would quicken you. And he'll show you. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you the stance to take. And he will quicken your works Quicken your words, quicken your mortal bodies, as the Spirit does the work through you and in you. And in that, there's a blessing, there's an incredible experience, and God is with you. So, just a little bit of an encouragement today. God bless you guys. Hey, we love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. All right, we'll catch up with you soon. Talk to you later. Bye.